This sermon today is titled Parenting 101. And to begin with, I want us to start, and I don't know where we're going to start for sure, and I don't know where we're going to end for sure, but we'll start here. So turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and you look at verse 16, it says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," or whoever believes in Him, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17, it says, "But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Condemnation and guilt trips are not from the Lord. We can be led by the Lord. We can be wooed by His Spirit. We can be convicted by His Spirit, but we are not condemned. The Lord does not condemn us by His Spirit. He does not motivate us that way. And for moms and dads, and I will say especially for moms today, that it's finally time to get off of that merry-go-round that you've been on for so very, very long. Guilt is not from God, and if you feel guilt in raising your children, you feel guilt because of the way they turned out, if you feel guilt and condemnation for the decisions that they have made in their life, today is the day that you're going to get off that merry-go-round. So no more guilt, no more condemnation, no more self-loathing. Today, I'm getting off. So repeat that with me today. Today, I'm getting off. Say it again. Today, I'm getting off. We are no longer going to be on that because it's not from God. It's from the adversary. Now, sometimes our children will like to lay guilt on us, and they'll like to make us feel condemned because then they can get us to do what they very, very well want us to do. But no more. No more am I going to do that. I'm going to give you two simple steps in your life of what you're supposed to do as a parent, and then the children can make decisions for themselves. And we are going to look at the scripture today that says that the parents are not guilty for the guilt or held in condemnation for the sins of the children, and the children are not held in accountability for the sins of the parents. It does not work that way, okay? We are all accountable. We are all responsible. Many times at church, we celebrate Mother's Day. Then in a few weeks, we celebrate Father's Day. But we never take the time to speak about parenting. In God's eyes, parents is a highly revered position in life. Do you realize that? You are highly revered because of your position as a parent in this world. We don't get that in society today, do we? Hardly revered? I don't think so. Brother and sister, when you decided to be a parent, you decided a career path that would reach out to future generations. And I'm going to say that again because it's worth saying. When you decided a career path, and parenting is a career path that you have chosen. And when you have chosen that career path, that would reach out. It would reach out to future generations. In today's society, being a mother or father is probably one of the most insignificant things that you could do in this world. That's society's standpoint. But in God's eyes, it's a position of great, great importance. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go back to the Ten Commandments. So we go back to Exodus 20, and you're going to go to verse 12. We're going to look at a little bit more of it here in a moment, but first we're going to go to verse 12. In verse 12, we are actually looking at the fifth commandment. In verse 12, it says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This statement from God was placed in the Ten Commandments. And do you not think it was important to God? Most certainly it was important to God. Now listen to me. Some people don't have the best mother or father. So I want to make sure that I clarify that. I went for years and never spoke personally to my father. But honor doesn't mean that you always agree or that you are supposed to get along. It means to respect and to reverence that position in life. Parents are important to God. They need to be important to us. And the question is why? Well, let me give you an example. Turn to an earlier commandment. Go back to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read at verse 1. In verse 1, it says this, And God spoke all these words. God spoke all of these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. Now listen to the words. Upon the children of the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. The first four commandments are about our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. The last six commandments are about our relationship with other people. Why is it placed this way that number one, our relationship with God, is listed first? The reason why it is listed that way is because your relationship with God should be number one in your life, and everything and every other relationship flows out of your relationship that you have with God. We see and echo that when the Lord says you're not supposed to obey your parents and obey your mom and dad. Why are you supposed to obey your parents? Why are you supposed to be obeying your mom and dad? Because they are supposed to be teaching you the principles of God's Word. And when you live according to God's Word, your life will be blessed. That's why He says that. So our relationship with God, everything flows out of that. It affects every other relationship that we have. The commandments 1 and 2 speak about idolatry, speaks to us about idolatry. Whatever that you put before God becomes your God. So when we look at number 5 again, we look at number 5, you shall not bow down nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Parents, look at what it says. Your choices in life can affect and will affect future generations. Think about that as a parent. Parents who have rejected, or parents who reject God, find out that so do their children, so do their grandchildren, and so do their great-great-grandchildren, reaching out to the third and the fourth generation. Yes, parenthood is a highly reverenced position in life, because through you, you will affect generations for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're talking about, the effect of the gospel in people's lives. Why did we say our school was going to become a mission school? Now, what does that mean? Not everyone that attends or that's going to go to our school has to attend this church. We desired that they attended a church somewhere, but it wasn't not the most important thing, because we are a mission school. Why? It's because we want to reach these kids for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to break the cycle of unbelief in their life. That's what we want to accomplish. That may have gone on for generations, but we want to stop it here in their life. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're not very far from there. In chapter 6 and verse 1, this is what it says. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all of his statutes, all of his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now listen into the words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do you love him that much today, church? And then verse 6, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when, I think it says, you rise up. over and over again to our children, right? This is what I want you to do. What he's basically saying, I want you to raise the children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want them to know Jesus before they leave your household, or I want them to have the opportunity of knowing Jesus before they leave your household. Now turn with me to Isaiah. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, we look at verse 10. Verse 10 is sometimes excluded from this passage of Scripture, but it's really, really beautiful when you read 10 and 11 together. But in Isaiah 55, verse 10, it says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void." It shall not return to me void. Mothers and fathers, you need to stand on that word. It is not going to return to you void. Why? Because it will accomplish what God desires for it to accomplish in their life. He says, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If we can instill the Word of God in a child's life, we will affect future generation. It's a truth of God's Word. Amen? It's a truth of God's Word. Look at our society today. The God of the USA is not the God of the universe, but the God of sports. Parents trying to live their unfulfilled lives out through the lives of their children, can't find umpires in our society today, and you can't find referees in our society today, because there's fist fights on the field and everything that is going on because my child is not winning, or you made the wrong call, or you did this or you did that. Schools don't honor or promote God on Wednesdays, and haven't for many, many years, and most certainly anymore they don't honor Him on Sundays. Listen to the statistics out of a Division I school. Now, some of us may not know what a Division I school is, but a Division I school is the highest level of college collegiate play that you can be in. So if you were going to be in a Division I school in Iowa, you would either go to Iowa or you would go to Iowa State. Those are the big schools. Out of those Division I schools, those that go on to play professional levels in men's basketball is 1.1%. In women's basketball, it's 0.9%. In men's football, it's only 1.5%. In baseball, it's a little higher at 5.1%, but just because you got a professional contract doesn't mean you're going to play in the big leagues. You might play in AAA, single A, or double A before you would ever have the chance. And most people spend their life in those leagues and never get called up to the big leagues. Is my duty as a parent to raise my child up and start them when they're about this tall and start them in baseball or wrestling and basketball? Because it was not able to do that. I am going to do that through my child, so when they get older and they go into professional sports, I can pretend that that is me. Is that my goal? And the answer is, according to God's word, it does not say anything about that, does it? I'm supposed to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and if they are going to be blessed with a long life, a successful life, and a prosperous life, it's because they know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not because they know how to play baseball. My goal is not to raise a child, and nor should it be yours as a child, to be a sports star. But as children of God, and that's what we want people to be, is children of God. As parents, I'm going to give you two goals today in raising your children. Two goals. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at Hannah and Samuel. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. So 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, and when you get home, read 1 Samuel and see how it all carries out. We won't do that for time, the essence of time. But when you go over to 1 Samuel in chapter 1 and look at verse 10, and it talks about Hannah, and she is so upset because she is without child. And she says this statement, and she was in bitterness of soul in verse 10, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. In short, Hannah prayed to have a child, and if she did, she would give this child to the Lord's service. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train a child up in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Our goal, Parenting 101, number one, is to raise your children up to know God. That's your goal. That's your job. This is what you have assigned your life to when you know the Lord, and you want to raise your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And as children of God, we don't want to raise our children up to be anything else but, or anything less than, a child of God. In essence, when you give a child to the Lord, you are in turn giving them to the world to share the love of Jesus with others. Hannah gave Samuel to the world, because when she gave that child, Samuel, to the Lord, he in turn gave that child to the world to share the word of God. So goal number one is for a child to know God, and goal number two is for a child to be prepared for life, to live their faith out. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Did I raise them to know Jesus? Or did I try to raise them to know Jesus? Have I prepared them for the world in which we live in, to live their life of faith out? That is a challenge for every parent. You heard me say last week, I have raised children, and I told Carol that I only planned on raising two, and we've raised eight. And I told you later on, she asked me when the boys were still young, and the boys weren't very happy about it, if I would be interested in adopting. She says, what do you think? I said, I think you're nuts. I don't need to raise any more children. And sometimes you raise children up that will hate you. You get this? You got it? Sometimes I have children that I raised that were my nephews that I adopted that haven't spoke to me for years and probably never will speak to me, and if I would probably die tomorrow, would not come to the service. But what was I trying to accomplish in their life? I was trying to accomplish in their life that they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I was trying to prepare them for life, that they would be a hard worker, a diligent worker, they would be responsible, and they would be accountable. Now, something has happened that they walked away from the Lord and never returned, as far as I know, but I know that they are making their way in their life, that they are being responsible and they are being accountable, I believe. I didn't raise my children up to be my best friend. I didn't raise my children up to be my buddy. And you heard me say last week, there's not anything I more enjoy than my two grandsons that are my grands and they are also my sons, of doing things with them, and they help Grandpa out and they help Grandma out a lot, and we love these boys to death as I do my other grandchildren, but I didn't raise them to be my buddy. I hope that someday and things we do together are as buddies, but I didn't raise them that way, because if I did that, I would be doing them an injustice in life, because they would grow out of the house, they wouldn't know Jesus, and they wouldn't be responsible to live their life in the world. Two very simple things. You can say as a parent, I tried to do those two steps. I tried to do that and I failed. Well, who said you failed? Who said you failed? God didn't say you failed, did he? He just asked you to do those things. Teach them about Jesus. Prepare them for life. So it wasn't God that told you that you failed or is telling you that you failed. Did Satan tell you that you failed? Or are you telling yourself that you failed? Parents, if I do number one and number two, then our kids' argument is not with me, but their argument is with God. You get that? The argument is not with you. Well, you made me go to church. You drugged me to church. Well, wham, wham, wham. It's time we grow up, put our big boy pants on, because their argument truly, listen to me, because when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody in the world, they reject, if they would reject you. You ever had that rejection? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. But who are they rejecting? Are they rejecting you? No, they are not. They are rejecting the Word of God. If your child today is rejecting you because you did this or because you didn't do that, I'm telling you, they're not rejecting you. They're rebelling against God, and they're rebelling against God's Word. Keep that in mind. I won't go to the scripture for the essence of time, but you can write this down. It's in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says that you are not accountable for the sins of the child, and the child is not accountable for the sins of the parent. You know what? I didn't do everything right when I raised my kids. I'm a better parent today than I was when I raised my kids, and I know Carol would agree with you. It took me 70 years to get there, but if I was going to raise another baby, I think I'd do pretty good at it. Why? It's because I've got some experience. My mother-in-law said it all. She said, you know what? The kids aren't born with handbooks. And because they aren't born with handbooks, you do the very best job that you know and take the very much leading of the Lord that you possibly can and try to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Try to make them responsible in this world so they can live their life in the outside world. And after that, you know what? You're on your own. I know when my dad told me, he says, well, that door swings both ways, and when you go outside, don't let it hit you in the butt when you go out. And I know that he didn't feel guilty when I went out at all. It's different in the world today. And we wonder why that in so many ways that the public school system has failed. It's failed because parents stopped going to church. It failed because we stopped teaching the Word of God. It's failed because we are not investing those talents and those abilities in our grandchildren and in our children. I love my kids. And I tried to teach them about Jesus as much as I could. And I tried to teach them the way in life that they could live their faith out. I did the best I could. You ever say that? Lord, I did the best I could. And that's where I leave it. For years, Satan tried to destroy Carol and I through our marriage, through our ministry, through all the things that we had in life, because many times the adversary wanted to attack us through our children. Even with our children not knowing, but Satan would use that against us. Stop it. It stops here. The buck stops here. I'm getting off the merry-go-round. No more am I going to suffer from guilt and condemnation and self-loathing over something that I have no control over. But today, I'm going to take my children, I'm going to take them out of my hands, and I'm going to put them in the hands of God, somebody that can do something about it. Amen. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save. I will walk in faith. My children will return to the Lord. I will not live in the guilt of what could or should have been. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just know that there are so many hurting parents that suffer with so many things because of children. That they should have done this or they should have done that. But Father, it's out of their control. When is it, Lord, that our children are ever on their own? That it's their accountability and their responsibility for the decisions that they make in life. And today, Father, we as parents and grandparents are going to take our children and we're going to place them in your hand. And I pray that, Father, you will protect them, you will guide them, you will direct them, and you will lead them. And I pray that they will return to the words of the Lord that have been shared with them. But, Father, I'm giving them over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Okay, you're going to go out these doors. Don't you be picking that back up. I'll be knocking on your door. We give them over to the Lord, and they belong to Him. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day.